Powerful. Powerful. I don't know about you, but it's hard to sit there and not worship whenever you hear those words and you see people pouring their heart out before the Lord here. Man, that's powerful. Golly. Good stuff. Good stuff. Man, don't we love it whenever things are going well? Man, don't we love it when things are clicking the way that we feel like they should? You know, and like in a moment like that, we need to just embrace that moment and experience that moment. Singing love songs back to God. Just singing back to Him how much. And proclaiming who He is. What He's done. Man, it moves us. It's motivational. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that is motivational. And sometimes we need that. We need that shot in the arm. We need that energizing that we get from being together as the body of Christ and worshiping in truth and in spirit. You ever have a bad day? You guys ever have a bad day? Raise your hand if you ever had a bad day. You ever had a bad week? Anybody ever had a bad week? Man, we've had a tough week. Last week started out awesome, didn't it? I mean, last week, Super Bowl Sunday or Football Sunday, you know, we had to call it that because of licensing issues. But, man, we had a lot of you guys brought your friends in. I just want to say kudos. Thank you for reaching out to your friends. And a lot of you had family members here and friends here. And they got to hear the gospel presented. There's people that put their faith in Christ. You heard Kendra saying earlier that we've got like 9 people following Christ in believers' baptism. That's huge. That's huge. You know, and I know it's easy to kind of get used to that because we're constantly seeing people go through the waters of baptism here. But that's a big deal. Don't ever let that become something small and something kind of trivial. It is what Jesus went to the cross for, is to see people's lives saved and their souls changed forever. And so it's important for us to get our mind around it. You know, that's a big deal. And so baptism is them going public, letting everybody know, you know what, Jesus, He's changed me. I'm on this path. I'm on this journey, if you will, moving towards becoming more and more like Christ. It's a big deal. But we started off with that. And I don't know about you guys, but we went home and went to our life group last Sunday night. And we're watching, you know, we were having chili and kind of doing a kind of get to know each other. So for you guys who didn't make it, you know, you missed out on some good chili and good fellowship there. But we're gonna do it again tonight. But here's the cool thing. Watching the Super Bowl, you see 2 of the guys that come out as captains for the New England Patriots were the guys that shared their testimony on our video. I thought that was pretty cool. So here's something. Not only are they speaking it to the churches, they're living it out in such a way that their teammates or whoever put them out there as a captain for the coin toss. That was a big deal. And so that was just kind of encouraging for me. You know, it was a good game. What a crazy game. You know, good game. So the week started out pretty good, didn't it? I mean, it was a pretty good week. But, man, we just had a tough week this week. It's been a tough one. I've had a couple of meetings I had to have that I didn't even want to go to. You ever have those? A couple of meetings you got to go to. You got to go to, but you really don't even want to be a part of it. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And then Tuesday night, I get home and I walk in and Zach, my middle son, is, you know, he's been feeling bad. And I looked and, he just looked terrible. He's running fever. So I told Laura, I said, we need to get him to the doctor. So the next morning, take him to the doctor. And find out he's got mono and pneumonia. And I'm thinking, man, just one's bad, but 2 of them's really bad. And so I watched him battle, you know, through this, just really feeling bad and sore throat and all that good stuff. And anyway, it's just one of those things. And then deer season closed Friday, you know, and so been a rough week. Rough week. But the thing is we have so much to be thankful for as believers. And sometimes we have weeks like that, don't we? We have weeks where nothing seems to go right. We have weeks where it seems like, you know, everything you do is the wrong decision. Everything you do is you say it the wrong way, whatever, you know, and we have moments like that. We have moments like that. And sometimes we need motivation. You know, there's times in our faith, you know, you just feel like, you know what, man, I just want to, man, I give up. You know, you're trying to reach out to someone. You're trying to reach out to a family member. You're trying to build a relationship. And it seems like everything you do is just like you almost want to give up. You know, and then you hear something like somebody talk about maybe a testimony or about how God was at work. Or maybe you just kind of catch a glimmer of hope in something that someone says and you're reminded why we do what we do. You know, and sometimes we want to be encouraged or we want to be motivated and we feel like, you know what, it's tough. Working out, man, we need somebody to kind of motivate you sometimes, some accountability. Hey, meet me at the gym because, if there's nobody there to meet you, it's easy to sleep in type deal. So sometimes we need motivation. How many of you guys play sports? Anybody play sports? Raise your hand if you play sports. If you can still raise your hand. Because, you know, like some of us, this wing doesn't work for me real well. And And so here's the thing is what happens is, you know, we got a big game or something's coming up, and we oftentimes, you know, a coach is always trying to motivate, right? I mean, the coach is trying to get the best out of you. That coach's job is to try to get you motivated, get you excited about the game, get you focused on the game. I was talking to a guy yesterday who was talking about, you know, that back in the day, coaches were a little bit rougher than they are today. They don't get away with as much back now as they did back then. Anyway, this one guy said, "I guess we don't care, coach," and popped him with a clipboard. And after that, they won 10 games in a row. You know, and so it was one of those things where you're like, man, he shouldn't have done that. But got the kids' attention, and all of a sudden, everybody's like, well, I guess we care now. And so there's motivational things that happen. If you've ever heard some of the coaches that will do a motivational speech, man, you get through hearing that and you just get excited. I remember years ago I was a chaplain for T.R. Miller High School, and it was a couple of our guys on staff. We kind of rotated, and we were at the state championship game up here in Legion Field, and a guy from Alabama, Jeremiah Castillo, was in there giving the pregame speech. And man, he had us so worked up. I mean, guys wasn't even playing, was ready to go play football. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just got motivated, you got excited. And so it's encouraging to hear that, and it motivates you. It motivates you. I want you to listen to a guy. I'll fix to play an audio clip. And this is a guy who's trying to challenge his team, trying to motivate his team to give their best. So listen to this.
If tomorrow wasn't promised, what would you give for today? Forget that there was any sunlight left. What would you spend today thinking about? Yourself or the man that's beside you? Or the man that you know you'll get everything in your heart. We get one opportunity in life, one chance in life, to do whatever you're going to do, to lay your foundation and to make whatever mark you're going to make, whatever legacy you're going to leave, leave your legacy. And it's found through effort. Wins and losses come a dime a dozen. But effort, nobody can judge effort. Because effort is between you and you. Effort ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. So that team that think they're ready to see you, they think what they seen on film, they show what film shows. Because every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. So now you got to go out and show them that I'm a different creature. Now!
You better know who that is? It's Ray Lewis, right? Ray Lewis was a motivational speaker, you know, a motivational player. He would motivate people, get them excited. And what he's saying, hey, listen, man, he goes, effort is between you and you. It's, in other words, it's on you. What are you going to do? He's talking about how, you know, you've got teammates that are counting on you. What are you going to do? You've been given one life. What are you going to do with the life you've been given? What are you going to do with the time that you've been given? And what he's saying is, listen, are you giving it your best? He's challenging. He's calling them out. If you're going to make a legacy, make a legacy. But whatever you do, give it your best. Give it everything you got, your effort. And what he keeps saying is, listen, effort. What are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing your best? And I think sometimes spiritually we need to hear that. Hey, are we bringing our best? When I sing a song like we just got through singing, it reminds me, am I giving my best? Do I really believe what I'm singing? Is it inspirational? Yes. Is it emotional? Yes. But am I giving my very best throughout the week? Am I giving my very best every day as a dad, as a husband, as a friend, as a pastor? Am I giving my very best? And so when I hear something like that, he may be talking about football. I think about the eternal things. Read with me this passage here. Oh, here's a statement. It says, you've got to want it. You know, what he's challenging these people. You got to want it. You got to want it. And so look at this passage here. It said, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth here. He says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. And so what Paul is saying, hey, listen, man, these bodies, they're wasting away. They're breaking down. He said, hey, listen, we are dying day by day. I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know what, son, he said, you were born dying. He said, you were born dying. What he was saying was, listen, we've been given a number of days, and whatever we do with that, we've got to say, you know what, I want to make the greatest impact with it. And so what Paul is saying is, listen, this life is really not what it's about. He goes, if they kill me, we win. He said, if I don't die, I win. In other words, every day is an opportunity for us to make an impact spiritually. And what he's talking about is, you know, we get focused on this temporal stuff. We get focused on the things of this world. And he's saying, listen, our focus should be on the things that last for eternity. That should last forever. And so I said, you've got to want it. And so let me ask you, so what do you want? I gave you a couple of blanks there. I want you to jot down, if you can be honest enough with yourself. I'm not going to check your answers. And hopefully your people beside you won't be looking over on your sheet. You know, people tend to cheat sometimes. And they may be wanting your answers. But this needs to be what you want. So I want to ask you, what do you want? And you might be thinking, well, Mike, I got a blank. I can't come up with anything. Well, let me throw out a couple of things. I did a little search just to see what might be out there. And asked, you know, what do people want? Here's a couple of things that came up. Some of the top things that came up. One is people want happiness. They want happiness. And the person who wrote this said, it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire, if you've got all the stuff in the world, all the money in the world, or if you don't have anything, people are always wanting happiness. And happiness can be a temporary thing. Happiness is like, hey, I'm happy for a moment. But there's happiness is just kind of like, I'm just happy for just a brief moment, for like a season. Joy lasts a lot longer. We'll talk about that in a second. The other thing was money. People want money. But thing is, it's like you never get enough. You never get enough to the point of where, you know what, I'm satisfied. There's always something out there. And we say, well, Mike, you got to hang the carrot out in front. You got to get there. But the thing is people want money. But the tendency is the more money we get, what? The more money we spend. The more that we make, the more that we spend. And we're just a little bit deeper in debt because we make more money, we spend more money. And so a lot of times that's one of the problems with it. So that's one of the biggest challenges. Number three that I put down here was freedom. People want freedom. And I'm thinking, freedom? Freedom from what? I mean, we live in America. You know, was this article from America or what? But the thing is, people want freedom from sometimes from the bondage of some type of addiction. Maybe freedom to be able to say what I want to say without my husband or my wife or whatever, somebody questioning me. Whatever that freedom might look like, that was one of the top things that they wanted. I'm thinking, man, freedom, that's one of the great gifts that we get with Christ is freedom. Here's another one, peace. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit. But people are wanting peace because they feel like their lives are in chaos. They feel like there's so much going on. You turn on the news and it's negative and negative and negative and negative. And so people are wanting something that brings peace. They're wanting to experience peace. They're wanting to feel like, you know what, man, my life matters. My life makes sense. And I've got this peace with where I'm at. But it's not what they're finding. What they're finding is, you know what, they're in need of this. They're in want of this. Another thing they want is joy. Another fruit of the Spirit. Joy is, it's not based on the circumstances. Happiness can tend to be based on circumstances and what's going on around you. Joy is choosing to be filled with joy no matter what kind of storms are blowing about, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how bad the week may have been, you're filled with joy. Here's another one, balance. Man, everybody wants balance. You know, balance, you know, man, here I am, I'm trying to be a dad, I'm trying to be a husband, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, a boss, I'm trying to be a pastor, I'm trying to be all these things. And sometimes you feel like, man, I'm trying to juggle all this stuff. Or maybe you're a mom and you say, you know, I'm trying to juggle all these schedules. All these kids have got to go here and there. I'm trying to be a good mom, be a good wife, be a good friend to my friends, be a good disciple maker, be a good member at the church. And so I'm trying to balance life. And so people are often saying, man, I want balance in life. And here's the thing. God tells us that. He teaches us that. What happens is we get so focused on what the world says rather than what God's Word says that we lose that balance. Here's another one, fulfillment. People wanting to feel fulfilled. God says He has a purpose and a plan for my life. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And He wants to do great and mighty things in you and through you. And so whenever we hear that, that ought to bring a sense of fulfillment. Confidence. You know, that confidence, people are lacking confidence. So many people that walk around with insecurity. You know, I can see it a mile away because I grew up super insecure. And until I began to understand who I was in Christ, that's whenever it began to change as far as my level or focus of confidence. And my confidence is not in Mike Mazingo. It's in what Christ can do in you and through you if you will surrender to Him. If you will allow Him to work in you, He'll take care of you. He'll provide what is needed. And so confidence, here's another one, stability. There's not a woman in this room that does not want stability. But here's the thing, there's a lot of men that want it too. It's just sometimes we're not willing to put forth the effort to bring stability into the home. It's one of the greatest needs in every home is stability. You know what? Your children need stability. They need it. It's not a want. It's a need for a child. But too often we're too busy with everything else that we don't have stability in the home, and we're not willing to do what it takes to be that type of dad, that type of mom, that type of husband, that type of wife, so that our children do have great stability. We're too greedy. We're too selfish. We're too self-centered. So what happens is our kids miss out on one of their needs, not just a want. And then here's the last one that I've got down is a passion. It's passion for something. You know, too many times we tell our kids, you know, well, you need to go into this line of work because you'll make a lot of money. And we think that if they make a lot of money, they're going to be happy. And let me tell you, there's plenty of wealthy people that are unhappy. They don't have joy. They don't even feel fulfilled. They don't have peace. They don't have a lot of the things that are wants on here. And so we tell our kid, hey, you need to be this or you need to be that. What most people have learned to say is, hey, listen, you need to find what you love to do. So that you have a passion for going to work. You have a passion for making a difference. You have a passion for whatever that might be. If it's a teacher, be passionate about teaching. Whatever it might be, you've got to say, you know what, you need to be passionate about that. I had a friend of mine this past week, one of my mentors, I was calling him, and he was telling me that one of his sons had said, he came in, he said, Dad, he said, you know, I've got this opportunity, this job. He said, but, you know, he said, I don't think I'm going to take it. He said, I feel like God's called me into the ministry. And his dad was like, no. He hadn't called you into the ministry. And this guy's a pastor. And he was like, no, Dad, he said, I feel like God's called me into the ministry. He said, son, he said, if you can do anything else, don't go into ministry. He said, if you can be happy doing anything else, don't go into the ministry. He said, dude, it's tough. He goes, Dad, I feel called to this. He said, I hear what you're saying. He said, but let me just tell you this. He said, if you can't do anything else, he said, and you're going to be miserable doing anything else, he said, then maybe you're called. He said, but if you're not called, you won't last. He said, because it will chew you up and spit you out. And so I get off the phone with him, and we're talking about that. And he said, he just encouraged his son. Didn't sound like it, did it? Didn't sound like he encouraged him. But he said he encouraged him. Well, so I talked to another friend that I hadn't talked to in years. And he was telling me, he said, Mike, he said, you know, I don't know if you remember my youngest son. He said, he went to camp whenever he was 13 years old. He said, and he came back and he told me and his mom that he felt called to the ministry. And he said, you know, he said, it's never wavered. He said, I've even tried to discourage it. He said, because I continue to see how the world is attacking Christianity. He said, so much tension and stress. He said, in ministry. He said, I'm thinking, I don't want my son to be in the ministry. And I told him, I said, listen, here's the thing. I said, if God calls him, he'll be miserable anywhere else. And I said, the safest place for him to be is in the center of God's will. He said, you're right. He said, I told him a story about another friend of ours who gave up his little girl. Whenever he held her up before the Lord, and he said, Lord, she's yours. And so when she left to go to Ethiopia with her husband, who's a doctor, it like to kill him. But he realized, you know what? I gave her to you, Lord. I trust you to take care of her. And if we're going to sing songs that God will protect us and defend us and care for us, moms and dads, let me just tell you this. Your child being in the center of God's will is the most safe place for them to be. Now, you might think, or does he mean safety? No. Safe as in the hands of God. Do things still happen? Absolutely. But the best place to be is in the center of God's will. And if your child is passionate about the kingdom of God, passionate about ministry, then man, you know, encourage that. Don't throw cold water on it, but encourage that. And so, I don't know what you wrote down in your blanks there, but I'll ask you one more time. What do you want? What do you really want? Is it money? Fame? Attention? Affection? You know, is it stuff? I mean, what do you want? I mean, here's the thing. You need to know what you want, because if you're going to say, hey, man, you got to want it, then what is it that you want? And here's the thing. Too many times people get to the end of their life and they've got their ladder leaned up against the wrong wall. And they go, man, I wanted this, but this is not going to satisfy. And so we need to ask ourselves, and I think it's a good question to ask, so what do I want? And maybe we start jotting those things down. And let's look at a couple of passages here. This is out of Isaiah 41. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. For those of us that are in a battle, and every person in this room is in a battle, then we need to lean into the promises of God and realize, you know what? God is saying, listen, I will hold you. I will take care of you. I will minister to your needs. And we've got to be willing to lean into that. So that takes faith. Faith. Maybe you feel trapped. Maybe you feel caught in something. Maybe you feel like you're trapped in your career. You're trapped in an addiction, or you're trapped in something. Look at what Jeremiah says here. Jeremiah offers hope for those living as captives. And many of you may know this passage, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Man, isn't that a great passage to kind of cling to? You know, and many of you have probably memorized that one through the years. You've claimed it through the years. Do you know what it says right after that? It says, hey, by the way, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. The Babylonians have you in captivity, and it'll be another 70 years. But what we do is we claim that one passage and say, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. And we go, you know what? God's got plans. He does. But those plans may sometimes involve challenges. And we've got to be willing to not give up. We've got to be willing to stay focused and keep moving forward. And there's going to be times that, you know what, it sounds good. And man, that's a great passage. But you know what? The people had to understand you're going to be in captivity for a little bit longer. Some of you, you're living in captivity, not because you have to like they did, but because you're choosing to. You're choosing to live as a captive whenever you have been given resurrection power. You have been given the authority of Jesus Christ. If He lives within you, we just got through singing about it. If we have that type of power living within us, it ought to give us victory in areas rather than defeat. It ought to give us a focus, you know what, and a mentality and a confidence, not in what we bring to the table, that what He brings to the table, you know what, we will not continue to live as a captive. And so look at this passage down here. It talks about what we sow, what we reap. We reap what we sow. We harvest what we plant. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And so there's another passage saying, don't give up. You know, you think back to Winston Churchill's famous message or whatever, and it's kind of debated as to where he shared this, but he said, never, 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 never give up. And some people say he was talking about that during the Second World War. Some say he was speaking at a boys' school. The thing is what a great statement. Never, never, never give up. Give up on what? And so here's the thing is a lot of people say, well, your dreams, your goals. Or what about the things of God? What about the eternal things? And so here is a question. It says, are we sowing good seed? So ask yourself, are we sowing good seed? Because here, you know, the teaching is clear. It says that whatever we sow is what we will reap. Whatever we plant is what we'll harvest. So, and I don't know if you guys have ever done much farming, but the thing is oftentimes what a person will do is whenever they're sowing, they're broadcasting seed with their hand. They'll take a handful of seed. And they'll broadcast it. And that's where Jesus was talking about. That said that some will fall on the rocky path or the hard path. And then some will fall in the rocky soil. And then some will fall, you know, in the fertile soil. And some will fall among the weeds. And they'll get choked out. And so Jesus is talking about, he's got this seed. And he said this farmer is broadcasting seed. Like some of you guys maybe do with your food plots or whatever. And so you're broadcasting the seed. And so some of that seed is going to fall on good soil, bad soil, hard soil, and weedy soil. And so whenever it falls on that good soil, it will produce 100 times what was planted. Like that one kernel will produce so many more. And so what it's saying is, hey, what kind of seed are we sowing? So what kind of seed did you sow this past week? Did you sow kindness? Generosity? I mean, what were you sowing this week? Life? Words of life? Positive? You know, or was it negative? Were you the one that was the naysayer, the bottom dweller? You know, the one that was always picking out the negative in everything. And here's the thing. Some people are like that, man. It's like, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's people that you see them coming like, oh, gosh, you know, here they come. And wouldn't you hate to be that person? But they see you coming and they know that you're going to be negative. It's kind of like sticking a needle in your arm and sucking your life out of you. You know, you're like, oh, here they come. And so the thing is there are people like that they're negative. They're bottom dwellers. It's always the worst. Everything's half empty. It's not half full. And for many of us, we go, man, you can only take them in doses, right? And I know that sounds terrible. Thank God God doesn't look at us that way. Maybe he does. Maybe he says, man, I'm going to take Mike for so much, and I'm going to take this person for so much. But the thing is we see him coming, and we have to sometimes distance ourselves from them because, man, they just start pulling us down into the muck and the mire. And so wouldn't you hate to be known as that person? So here's what I would say. Let's look back at this past week. Let's look back. So today's Sunday. Let's look back at yesterday. What kind of seed did you sow? Was it generosity? Was it selfishness? You know, what were you sowing? Was it love or was it hate? Was it bitterness or was it forgiveness? I mean, what were we sowing with our words and our actions yesterday? What about Friday? Let's back up to Friday. It's payday. Hey, for some people, for Friday, you know, hey, were you positive? Were you negative? Were you building up? Were you complaining? Were you ungrateful? Go back to Thursday. What'd you do on Thursday? Did you speak life over your kids if you have kids, or did you tear them down? Did you enforce the boundaries that God's Word gives, or did you give way and let them do whatever? I mean, what kind of seeds are you sowing? And I think it's a good question to ask. You know, what kind of seed am I sowing? Am I sowing the seeds of righteousness and godliness? Am I sowing those seeds? Do I want that? And I think that's a good question to ask. Is, you know, do we really want to be godly men and women, or do we just want church to kind of be a pretty good band-aid to where about every Sunday we come through and we kind of get an attaboy and say, hey, you know, all right, I'm doing pretty good. I went to church Sunday. Maybe we do a quiet time every once in a while. Did you sow that seed? Did you sow a quiet time each day? Did you spend time in God's Word? Did you spend time in prayer? The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. So throughout your day, were you praying for people? Were you standing in the gap for people? See, that's sowing seed. Were you sowing godly, righteous seed? Were your eyes fixed and focused on the things of God? Like Paul is saying, hey, listen, fix our eyes on that eternal stuff. Not the stuff that won't last, but the eternal things. And so what did you sow this past week? What seeds did you plant? Because here's the thing, that's what we will reap. Mom and Dad, just listen to this. If we sow seeds of greed, our children will learn to be greedy. We sow seeds of anger and rage, our kids will learn to be angry. So what kind of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing the seeds of servanthood, where you want to serve someone, you want to bless someone? Are you sowing the seeds of blessings, where you look for ways to bless people? Or do you look for ways to take advantage of people? So what seed are you sowing? What are your kids seeing? What are they learning? And what will they become because they've seen us model it? You know, one of the things I loved about the testimony last week was the one guy and his wife who were talking about the environment that they grew up in. And he said, you know, we had to go back and literally our belief system that went back to 2 years of age. He said, we had to say, you know what, it's wrong, it's broken, it's messed up. So what are we going to do? He said, so we began to work on ourselves, and allow God to change the way that we thought, how we talked, how we communicated, how we treated each other. And he said, you know, then we made a covenant individually and a covenant together, and it's brought their marriage to a full circle. Now they're ministering. Now they're helping others. But you heard him say we had to surround ourselves with the saints who were praying and believing and teaching the right things. And so let me ask you, you know, what seed are you sowing? Let's look at this next question. Do we really want eternal things more than temporal things? That's a tough question. Do we really want eternal things more than temporal things? Do we want more stuff? Do we want a bigger retirement? Do we want more money in the bank? Or do we want to see eternal things take place? You know, we got through celebrating 9 people are going to be baptized next week. What if we went out and we shared with people that we know that are not believers and led them to Christ? See, then we're sowing the seeds of the gospel. What if we went out and just blessed someone, ministered to someone, and they asked us, why do you do that? We said, because we want you to know the God that we know. I want you to be in a right standing with God. I bless you because He's blessed me. And so let me ask you, just be real honest with yourself. And if you're here as the husband, don't worry about your wife. And if you're here as the wife, don't worry about your husband. But this is what I would say. Ask yourself, do I want to be a godly man? Is it really the desire of my heart, or is it just kind of part of it? Do I really desire to be a godly woman? Or is it just kind of part of the social structure of the church? Do I desire righteousness? Do I desire godliness? Do I desire to see the kingdom expanded? Do I get excited when people are baptized? Do I get excited when someone's soul is saved? Do I get excited when someone is set free from the addiction of nicotine? Or maybe it's crack or whatever it might be. Do I get excited about their lives and souls being changed? Or is it just kind of part of the motions? Just kind of going through the motions? There's a question here that says, what if there is opposition? There will be. You might say, well, Mike, I want to be a godly man, but you know, man, I don't know. It's going to be tough. Yes, that's right, it is. Man, Mike, I want to make a difference, but you just don't know my family. You're right, I don't, but you do. And here's the thing, God knows them better than you do because He created them. And so the thing is, we have to ask is, will there be opposition? Yes. There will be an opponent. There will be a foe. There will be one who will set out to destroy us. I talk about this past week. When I look back to last Sunday and I see all that took place and so many people that were on their knees here praying before a holy God, it was a God moment. It was powerful. I saw where people saying, you know, it was the Spirit of the living God was working in that place. We walk out and on Monday, I'm in meetings that were nothing more than sinful junk. Tuesday, meetings, sinful junk. And so what I'm saying is the enemy going to come up? Yes. Is he going to come against us? Yes, that's his job. And so for us to sit here and think that we're going to just kind of mosey through life and everything's going to be all right, and I'm going to live for Jesus, and there's an opposition. There is an enemy. But he is defeated. He is defeated. You know, and sometimes we live with our focus on him more than we live with the focus on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We live with a focus on what he promises and what he offers more than what God offers. The one that we are to exalt, the one that we are to be living for, the one that has given us everything. And we spend too much time on the things of this world whenever he says, hey, listen, don't get focused there. And so how much do you really want to be a godly man? What are you willing to lay down? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up as to be a godly woman? What does it take? Now, a while ago, Ray was talking about effort. But really, here's the thing. This is by faith. And my faith is put in who God is. But here's the thing. There are things that I do. I will read my Bible. Why do I do that? Because I love Him. I will go to church. Why? Because I love Him. And I want to be a part of the church. And I want to be a part of the bride of Christ. And I want to follow His teaching. And so why do I go out and share my faith? It's because I have found out what it means to be born again, to be saved, to be changed, and to be redeemed. And I want someone else to experience that. And so why do I do those things? Because I love Him, because He loved me first. And I don't do those things to be loved by God. He loves me already. And I don't do those things to earn His love. I don't do those things to be better than anybody else. I do those things because I desire to be godly and righteous. One of my favorite verses, John 16:33. Look at what it says here. Jesus talking to the disciples. Jesus asks, do you finally believe? Do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. There's the overcomer right there, Jesus. He's overcome the world. We're facing battles, absolutely. We're facing challenges, absolutely. But Jesus has overcome the world. He's conquered it all. He has been given victory. And He offers it to you and He offers it to me. The power of the resurrection at work in us. This morning I had a brother in Christ send me a text this morning. He said, man, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And he shared a passage that was talking about just that we have this incredible power and authority within us to walk in victory. He doesn't know what I'm teaching on today. And I thought, man, isn't that just like God? It's like throwing gas on it sometimes. I mean, it's awesome to know how the Holy Spirit works. But here Jesus is saying, hey, listen, some of you guys, you're going to leave. You're going to be scattered. You're going to take off. He said, but the Father's with me. The Father and I are one. And then he tells them, he says, listen, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now let's look at a couple of next steps here. And I think these are important. A couple of next steps. No one's to choose to never, never, never give up on what God has for me. Never, never, never give up on what God has for me. Does God want you to be a godly woman? Yes. Does He want you to be a godly man? Yes. Does He want to bless your family? Yes. Does He want to use you to establish a godly legacy? Yes. But here's the thing. It's too often we give up. We quit. Quiet times, man, they're hard. You know, I mean, Mike is getting up every day meeting with God. Every day meeting with God. I challenge people all the time. Just start with 5 minutes. Reading the Bible. You know, you go, well, man, I got into the begats. I can't do it. The thing is we've got to stay with it. We've got to stay focused. We've got to want it. We've got to want what God wants for us. Because let me just tell you this. He is an awesome parent. He is a better parent than any of us will ever be. And here's the thing. My Heavenly Father wants me to experience all that He has for me. He wants me to walk in. He wants me to experience. He wants to bless me. You know, I want to bless my kids. I do. I want to bless them. But I'm a broken, sinful man. And God wants to bless us way more than we ever want to bless our kids. So to choose to never, never, never give up on what God has for me. His best. Look at the second one there. To join a life group that will walk with me. We need to get in a small, intimate group of people. One of the reasons that we do life groups is because in here it's a large group setting. Kind of hard to get to know people. But in a life group, where you got a small, intimate setting of maybe 10 to 12 people, man, you get to know each other. Just this past weekend, this past Sunday night, we just kind of went around the room sharing and talking about who we were. And you got to know each other. You got to know their background, their story. Now we know how to pray for each other. And we're going to be talking and we're going to be growing together as families, learning how to walk with each other, learning how to help each other. You know, we're talking about raising boys. And here's the thing is, you know, I still believe, I'm of the old mentality that I think it takes a village to raise a child. And so the church can be that village if it's done in the right way, in a godly way, in a healthy way. And so to join a life group that will walk with me, here's another one, to find an accountability partner to challenge me. Every man in this room needs an accountability partner. You know who I was calling? I was calling one of my accountability partners, one of my mentors. When I said, hey, listen. And I was sharing with him, and his week was about like my week. So as iron sharpens iron, we were sharpening one another and reminding each other of what matters most. Every man in this room, you need an accountability partner, someone that can challenge you, someone that will call you out, sometimes will rebuke you. And we need someone in our life that loves us enough that they'll pick us up and they'll dust us off and say, man, you can do this. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up. Keep going. And so we need somebody like that. Every woman in this room needs a lady in her life that loves her and loves her marriage. And it's not going, well, you need to leave him. You need to do this. You need a lady in your life that loves you and loves your family. That is speaking life over you, that's challenging you and say, hey, listen, you can do this. Sometimes we need someone to motivate us, to encourage us, to challenge us. And so every man, if you really want to grow and you want to become godly, find a godly man to mentor you. Every lady that wants to be godly, find a godly woman to mentor you, to pour into you, to challenge you. We'll do that for other stuff that is not going to last. Why not do it for the things that last forever? And then this last one here. It says to put my confidence in what God can do in me and through me, not in me. Put my confidence in what God can do. See, my confidence is not in my abilities. I've struggled with insecurity my whole life. That's why I say I can see it in other people. But the thing is my confidence is not in me. It's in the God who created me. It's the God who told me. It's the God who tells me what He wants to do in me and through me. It's the God who promises all these things that I believe. And so my confidence does not come from Mike Mazingo. It comes from the God who is at work within me. My confidence is in Christ. And so for those of us in this room that maybe you struggle with insecurity, Satan will use that to hold you as a captive. He will beat you down. He will tell you that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you don't have what it takes. And the whole time God's saying, hey, listen, I've got a plan for you. If you look throughout this book right here, it is filled with broken people that He used to do great and mighty things. And He would write about it. Here we are thousands and thousands of years later talking about those heroes of the faith. Some of them stumbled with their speech. Some of them didn't have the best looks. Some of them didn't have wealth. Jesus didn't even have a home. Then you have a place to lay his head. But yet he would change the world. There's a passage I want to read to you in ending. It's out of Philippians. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage. In some translations it says dung or dookie. That's where he places it on the chart. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. That would be me doing everything and kind of checking it off. But that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Hear what it's saying. It's all about faith. It's what Jesus has done. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Pressing on towards Him. He is the goal. He is the model that we are given, is to become more and more like Christ. And as we are doing that, what Paul is saying, listen, man, this stuff around here, it doesn't matter. These temporal things, these worldly things, they will fade away. They will rust. Moth will destroy. They do not last. So why do we not give it our very best effort when it comes to the things that will last forever, like someone's soul? Why do we not give our very best? Why do we not give our very best effort to reach them, to share with them, to disciple them, to pour into them, to serve them, to bless them? Why do we not give eternal things our very best? And so my encouragement to you is to never, never, never give up on the things that last for eternity and what God has for you. Let's pray. What are you struggling with? What do you want? You feel like you're struggling with some type of addiction? Insecurity? What's defeating you? What's keeping you from experiencing all that God has for you? Is it the lies of the evil one that you have bought in and now you tell yourself? Are you giving it your best? Are you giving it everything that you got? Are you focused on the eternal things? Or are you focused on the temporal things? Be honest with yourself. Are you more concerned with how much money you have in the bank? Are you more concerned with what kind of car you drive, what kind of truck you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of sunglasses you wear? Are you more concerned with those things than you are the things of the kingdom? Just be honest. Are you more concerned with acceptance? Are you more concerned with honor? You want someone to honor you? You want people to respect you? Is that where your focus is at? I want people to honor me, to respect me. I want them to appreciate me. Is your focus on those things, or is it on serving people, blessing people? Is your focus on kingdom things, eternal things, or temple things? And here's the thing, I think everybody in the room, we know. So the question is, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Maybe it's time to change. Change the path that you're on. Change the direction that you're headed. Change the focus. Next weekend, we're going to be talking about living with the end in sight. So how do we do that? What needs to change? See, my job is just to encourage you and to challenge you. God can change you, but He's waiting for you to surrender. God can heal you, but He's waiting for you to lay it down. God can set you free, but you got to let go of whatever you're holding on to. It's by faith. It's by faith. There may be some of you in this room that you've never put your faith in Christ for salvation. Maybe today, maybe the first time that you've ever really considered accepting Christ. You heard the passage where it talked about the power of the resurrection. You heard Paul talking about how important it was to live for Him. That everything else was like garbage. And maybe you go, you know what? I want something that lasts. So if that is your prayer, if that's your need, you go, Mike, that's me. I want to accept Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be a part of the bride of Christ, the church. I want to be a part of the family of God. And so if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Just say, Mike, that's me. Nobody's looking. I'm the only one looking. Anybody in the room just says, you know, Mike, that's me. I want to accept Christ. I want to ask Jesus to come into my life. I want to ask Him to change me. Anybody? Anybody? Jesus, I need you to save me. Anybody? It's tough to raise your hand. Maybe everybody in this room is saved. Are we giving Him our best? Are we giving Him everything? Maybe you're here and you're still struggling with that decision. I want to lead you through a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer that a child could pray or a senior adult can pray. It's not so much what you say with your mouth. It is the proclamation, but it's what you do in your heart. And so right where you're at, you just say, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that You can save me. Jesus, I'm asking You to come into my heart. I ask You to forgive me. I have failed. I have sinned. I'm sinful. I'm broken. So Jesus, I'm asking You to forgive me. And I'm asking You to come into my life to be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm tired of living as a captive. I'm tired of living as a slave to sin. I'm tired of having things rule in my life that don't care about me. But I know that You love me. And so, Jesus, I give You my heart. I ask You to come in, to save me, to change me, to transform me. If you just prayed that prayer, man, we'd love to meet you back here in the back of the VIP room just to help you with the next steps. Maybe you need prayer this morning. There's people, the prayer team back there that would love to pray with you and pray over you. Father, I thank You for today. God, I thank You that we can all be overcomers. We are not slaves any longer, but we've been set free. We no longer have to live under the yoke of sin and slavery, but God, You have given us the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, resurrection power. God, help us as believers to walk in that. Help us to grow in our knowledge of who You are as we study Your Word. God, help us to grow in our understanding of who You are and how You speak to us through the power of prayer. God, help us to be on mission with You as we reach out to those who don't know You. God, help us to be ministry-minded. God, that we might serve those You put in our life. God, sometimes we need to be reminded what to stay focused on. God, help us to stay focused on You. Help us to make everything about You and to honor You with how we live. In Jesus' name.